the writing of that hymn many times. I won't labor you with it again, but I can't help not but think when they were crossing the Atlantic and looked down into those murky waters where his daughters had drowned just a short time before, and the author of that hymn penned those words. You know, it's one thing to talk about your soul being well when the bill's all paid and everybody's healthy and everybody loves you and, you know, everything's going fine. But it's another thing when everything is gone to be like Job and just say, you know, still he's God and I'll trust him. And Job's wife said to him, you know, you ought to curse God and die, Job. Job said, you're a foolish woman to say that. You know, the word fool is used in the Bible to describe somebody who doesn't know God. As a matter of fact, it says it in Psalm 14. The fool has said, there is no God. And we want to talk about the glory of the Lord this morning. Brother Ed read that chapter 14, or 24, excuse me, and talks about the glory of the Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come down. We need the glory of the Lord like we've never needed it before. And as God withdraws his glory from a people, a nation or a church or a person, then things get pretty dim. And we'll talk about that in a moment in here. But we need to think about our own life and think about the times when Moses, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 10, and it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. We need, when our ways are crooked, when our ways are rough, when times are bad, when family is hurting, we need to see the glory of God again. We need to see the glory of God on America. When the hymn writer was out in the bay watching the bombs and shells go off on America, and he was writing, God bless America. You know, we need to have God bless us again and his Shekinah glory come down upon us. We need people that will take that stand. We really have gone plumb crazy when you think about the things that are happening. And we're handing a generation. I think about Doug Mastriano, when he was here, always talked about that. What kind of nation are we handing to our children? My father, he said, handed us one from World War II that was a nation full and vibrant and excited for God. And President Eisenhower added in there one nation under God to the pledge. And now we don't even want to pledge it. We want to hide it. We want to run from it. We want to take it somewhere else. We need the glory of the Lord again and shine upon us and our children to see it and remember it and be fearful when they think about doing something that would dishonor or shame the glory of God. And we find in Exodus 24:16, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. God was speaking to people back then. God speaks today, but I don't think we're listening in various ways. It seems like every time I turn on my television to the news station, another soldier has been killed. Another policeman, another sheriff's deputy has been killed. And I'm thinking, we're a nation that doesn't have the glory of God on us anymore. We're just like heathens. He says in Exodus 24:17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. They knew God was speaking. They were awed. We don't get nothing much gives us that awe feeling. Do you know what I mean, A.W.? Nothing seems to stop us in our tracks. Nothing seems to make us think about what God is doing instead about what we're doing. And we see in Exodus 40:34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's little enough, someone said, to fit in your heart, but he's big enough to rule the universe. That's amazing. God desires fellowship with us. God desires for us to be His recipients of His glory, and that others may see our glory. And then in verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Amen. Let's look at a few things that specifically I believe God wants to see about His glory. We need to glorify the holy name of God. You and I, we're recipients of God's love, His salvation, His mercy, and of Jesus Christ Himself. So therefore, we should make sure we honor and glorify His name. John 12:28, Jesus was praying this prayer. He said, Father, glorify Thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. God, with His assurance, thinking back to that hymn about the writer saying, it is well with my soul. I know it's well with my soul. So many people don't know that. They don't have a know-so salvation within their heart to know enough that God has saved them, if God has saved them, and they run around with that doubt and that fear, and they're always searching for something else, always looking for a new feeling, a new thought, a new something to do that will make them think they have what they don't have. The book says you either have Him or you don't have Him, and if you have Him, you're in His hand, and He's put His hand in the hand of the Father, and they've sealed us with the Holy Spirit. You can't get any better than that. How do we know? We know so because the Bible says so. We need to glorify God's name in prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. We hear Him saying that we're hallowed be the name of God. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be the name. That should strike some awesome fear into us the moment that we know we're in the presence of a holy God. We remember when Moses came to the burning bush and God said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. We need to stop and consider these things. Instead of being flippant about our worship or our time with God. But John 14:13, he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in His Son. God wants us to have His glory. And God wants us to magnify His glory. When people see us and know us, they should see the glory of the Lord magnified in our life. You say, well, what is glorifying? It's anything that's in this book that you do for God. And I have to say, in my lifetime, most of the things that some people do is glorifying self. Had a guy one time wanted to know if it was okay if he gave a large offering to the church. I said, sure, I don't care. He said, but I want it put on a plaque and I want it put on the board. I said, we can't do that. I said, that's glorifying you. You hear of some big church where some pastor with his doctorate degree and all of that and where he went to school and how many books he wrote and those things. And then when he dies, they name the church, the memorial church after him. That's not glorifying God, folks. That's glorifying a man. And I fear much of what we do many times in our own personal life, if we're not careful, we're glorifying ourselves. We want to make sure we get recognized. God has nothing in that. God turns His back upon that. Glorifying God by bringing lost souls to Him. In John 15:8, I'm sorry, that thing don't seem to be fitting right this morning. 15:8, He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. When we bring these little children to the Lord and they want to get saved and they want to get baptized, that's glorifying the Lord. That's not man's work. That's God's work. That's us giving God the praise and the honor and the glory. Let His name be glorified. Let His work be glorified. Let all that we do glorify God. And may we humbly bow before him and say, God, to thine be the glory. Someone has written a song. You've heard people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this or that. No, you're not going to do that. Why did you do this? Why did you let my kid die? Why did you let my husband become a drunk? Just all kinds of things. You're not going to do anything like that. The first things happen when you walk through heaven, you're going to be so glad there, you'll fall on your knees. And the author said, and you'll sing glory, glory, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. When we all get to heaven, certainly. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Everywhere we look, we can see God. If we're looking for God, and if we're not looking for God, he's not looking for us. The Bible says, seek the Lord with your whole heart and you'll find him. If we're not seeking him, he's not seeking us. He sent out the message. How long? Someone said, well, when God tells me. I said, how long have you been in this world? How many services have you attended? How much have you read the Bible? God speaks to you every time. He's speaking loudly. And then the events that come about in your heart. God's speaking to us today when all the things that are happening, all the death and the dying and the hurting, we've never heard of it so much of it in our life. But the heavens do declare the glory of God. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The firmament is out there above the clouds. That's the part that sent down the flood when it came. When God sent the flood to Moses, when the heavens opened up and the firmament parted and the water came down. Before that time, it never rained. It never rained any time. And God told Noah it was going to rain. And Noah told people it's going to rain. And they said, what's rain? He said, well, that's water falling from the sky. He said, Noah, you're stupid. You get water out of the ground. You don't get water from above. You go to bed at night and you get up the next morning, God always refreshed the ground, put water there. And they said, oh, crazy Noah, preaching about rain. And you preach about Jesus coming back and people saying, that's just a story you tell. And that's a spiritual imagination. The Bible says the clouds are going to part. He's going to come out and his voice is going to sound like a trumpet. And the whole earth with him. And then the dead in the grave will hear him. And they'll come forth. Some, at a later time, they tell us, will come forth to judgment of God. And others will be the children of God. But he's coming back. And he wants us to bring glory unto him and continue that. Even though the times be dark. Even though people don't want to hear it. Want to hear something else, something more modern. I don't like that. Don't have this, don't have that. I was watching a little bit of a football game with Jack. Went in to see Jack yesterday afternoon. And he said, that guy right there, every time he talks, all he talks about is equal opportunity and is everybody getting the same thing. And we don't have enough black coaches. We got to have more of them. And on and on and on. You know, some people, that's all they have on their mind. By the way, the radio announcer over there, Ryan, told me that somebody called in, some nice lady, and said, that Pastor Hodge you have, he's not liking Muslims very well. I think you ought to get some more conditioned kind of a preacher. And he said, I like the one I have and I'll keep him. I said, praise God. But I don't feel any worse towards a Muslim than I do a Roman Catholic that's lost and going to hell, or a backseat Baptist that's going to hell. I love them just as much, but I don't like what they do and I don't like what the Muslims do because it's wrong. I like wrong. I don't like what I do when it's wrong. One lady said to me, I don't agree with you. I said, I don't agree with myself all the time. You know what I mean? You got to think things over once in a while. You got to do some introspecting and some cleansing and look inside. But if that lady's listening today to this when it gets played, I love every soul of every Muslim that there is and want them to be saved. But if they don't, they're going to burn in hell with the backseat Baptists and the front drinking, whiskey drinking Methodists and whoever else that thinks they can just go to church and then do everything else and wind up in heaven and be an author over there. It's not going to happen. The heavens declare his glory. And when the glory of God leaves his house, the people, the power leaves them. People say today there's not only power in the church, the glory of God is gone. In the Old Testament, when they took away the ark, they took away the glory of God. I just have a couple verses. You can read the story. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21, when they found out, and the priest was, he was letting his boys steal stuff out. The priest and his family, when they brought the offerings in, they could take an instrument like you would at home and drag it through the pot, and whatever was on that instrument, that pork, whatever it was, that they could have that. But his boys was going in there and digging it out and eating more and more, and he'd got so big and fat he couldn't sit up. And he was sitting on the back seat of the wagon when they brought him the news, and he fell over backwards and broke his neck. You know, God gets tired of our shenanigans after a while. And when that happened in 1 Samuel 4:21, and she named the child that she was expecting Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband," which was one of those boys. God said, "Enough. Enough. I'm sick of you. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of the way you flaunt your stuff to me and you think all the things you do and then hide behind my back and do your garbage stuff is wrong." I had a Catholic friend one time. I was not a Christian then. And he was an altar boy in a Catholic church. And he said, "John, we found out they keep the wine that they serve in communion back there with the holy water." And he said, me and my buddy, we sneak some of the wine out. Now, what do you think God thinks about stuff like that? What do you think God is think? And God doesn't miss a single thing. God's eyes are not blind. Ichabod, 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 write it on the door of the church that doesn't glorify God. Write it on the door of the heart of the person who doesn't please God and glorify God with their life and their possessions and what they have. Don't glorify God with your life, and one day it'll be Ichabod, and God may not return again. The Bible says, "My spirit will not always dwell with men." God calls, and God calls, and God begs, and God pleads, and one day God says, "Enough already. Enough away with it. I don't want to hear it anymore." So the glory departed from Israel, for the ark of God was taken. How sad. How sad. Drive up and down the road where you used to see lights burning Sunday night, Wednesday night, no more in the houses of God. Nobody cares anymore. And we're always trying to find some big plan that's going to cure all the problems of the young people. Sin is the problem, and the blood of Christ is the only thing that will make them clean. We can bring all the psychiatrists in we want to. Every time they have a death in the school, then we got to have the doors closed for the school. We got to bring all the so-called preachers in and talk to the kids. "Now you're okay, and I'm okay." They need to listen to that commercial, don't they? Just okay is not okay. And it's not with God. In conclusion, we may glorify God through his church, you and I. What's this message leave for us? I spend a lot of time thinking about these things. In Psalm 79:9, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake." And then in Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord is a sun, a shield, And the Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is looking on our church, and God is looking on your life personally. And throughout this coming year, will he see the glory of God in my life reflecting to him? What would God have me to do in this situation? What would God want from me for this time? Where is my life counting for the things of Christ and the things of God? And is it even counting? If all the church members were doing what I'm doing, would the church be successful? Would it be glorifying God? We need to ask ourselves those questions. Let the glory of God come down. Let the Shekinah light shine one more. Because I don't believe we have much time, folks. People are saying that every day, but I believe it's coming true more and more as we see the destruction of that which was once precious, that which was once special to us, is no longer. It's an afterthought, or it's a medium to something else. The church should do this, and the church should do that for me. And what have I done for the church? What have I given? What sacrifice have I made? But the church should do that. The church should give this. The church should give that. The church. Who do we think the church is? If it, everyone was like me, would it be here? And someday, I'll be gone and you'll be gone. And those that followed, what kind of trail did we leave? What would they see? And will the bright, shining glory of God, when I see those little ones up here, and don't let them go too long till they do something again, I see the Shekinah glory of God. When we hear about all the drugs and the dope and the fighting and all the stuff that's going on, let the Shekinah glory shine. Let them see the glory of God and know that he is God. He alone himself has created heaven and earth and all things for himself, including us, that we might glorify him. That we might glorify him. He didn't glorify us to stick us in a science class to teach us that we came from some, whatever they call it, on a pond, and later on turned to a tadpole, and then turned to a tadpole and become a frog, and somewhere in there we become a monkey, and after that we don't change much. I listen to the monkey music and see the monkeys bouncing around, and I'm saying, you know, I think there is something to that maybe. Shekinah glory of God. I pray that this week, before next week, that you will think about this in your heart and life. Write it down. What am I doing to help the Shekinah glory of light of God shine in our church? What am I doing? Show me, God. And if you show me, God, what I'm not doing that I need to do, God, I will do it. I will sure do that. I want to do that. I challenge you to do that. I can't stand up here and browbeat you and make you do anything. I can only warn you that if you don't, and that you've heard, and that God said do it, you have to face him. And I do too. And he'll say, did he tell you? Yeah, he told me. I was told. It's like, slow down, work ahead. What does everybody do? Takes their foot off the brake and ram the gas pedal to the floor. That's the way we do God. God says, stop, be still and know that I'm God. You got to stop sometime. We're winding our lives faster and faster and more and have more and more, and satisfied less and less. And God's saying, whoa, wait a minute. I have everything to give you. Didn't I just read it? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He wants his Shekinah glory to be seen in us. Would you stand for prayer? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the God of all the universe. You're the God of our salvation. You're the God, Lord, who cares for us and loves us and takes us through trials to cleanse us and purge us and to teach us to follow thee. Lord, I pray that our church will be a shining glory of God for this upcoming year. I pray, God, that when folks drive by, when they hear this message on the radio or wherever they hear it, that they'll say, there's something different about that church. Because we have the Shekinah glory of God. Lord, we do not want Ichabod to be written on our doors. We do not want that saying to ever be said. That means dead, gone, no return, no coming back. Not dying, but final, dead. Help us, Lord. Help me as the pastor. Thank you for increasing my strength. Lord, certainly not as swiftly as I would like it, but Lord, there must be more lessons in this path of pain and suffering that I need to learn. Walk with me and lead me, Lord, and help me to be obedient to you. And Lord, bless our church. Bless it in a special way. And help us, Lord, not to be looking for what it can do for us, but what we can do for it. God, forgive us and help us to forgive one another. Help our hearts to be purged. When the psalm was read this morning, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Lord, help us get rid of grudges and embedded sin in our life. Lord, hatred toward others. Lord, help us to walk with our eyes on thee in the shining light of thy Shekinah glory. Oh, give it to us again, God. Give it to us again. We want to be faithful to you and hold the light. While heads are bowed and hearts are praying as the instrument plays for a moment, if you'd like to come to the altar, that's what it's for, and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. I don't want to see anybody else. I want to see me and you. And I want you to love me. And I want to love you in return the same way you love me. Page 816. Our hymn of invitation. If God's still speaking, the altar's open. Your heart's open to God if he's calling. Have
thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Why? Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Charlotte and I are leaving shortly here. I'll be back next Sunday morning in the pulpit. It is our wedding anniversary, but there were some friends who Charlotte knew before from a different relationship, part of the military, and he passed away. We knew he was dying, I don't know, 5-6 months ago, and I was so sick we couldn't travel and go. And still don't have all of it, but we're going to try to go down. My sister lives about halfway between here and North Carolina, and we go there stop tonight and then get up in the morning and go on down and see her. She's got cancer too now. So pray for us. And be praying for Joe. He's not doing well. He was up for a while, but he's down. And Judy's having a struggle, but they have got some of their financial stuff straightened out. And we're glad to hear about that. But he's having a real struggle with himself. And just continue to pray. And send her a card or give her a call or whatever. Encourage people. The Bible said do good, especially to them that the household of God. Amen. Should help our brothers and sisters. All right. God bless you all. And the meeting that we're having with the men, we're talking about, we've had some missionaries that we've dropped, and we need to get some more missionaries. God told me one time, he said, if the finances get low, if things get bad, put on another missionary, and God will bless you. So I think that's the way it is. Amen. Brother Paul, would you have our closing prayer?